Amen. Because that's where we're heading, aren't we? That new Jerusalem that God is preparing for us right now. Thank you very much. Appreciate that very much. Part one, the power of the resurrected life. Last week we talked about God's promise of empowerment, that God has not anticipated you and I. We have been born again of that incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but God's Word will not pass away. It's eternal. Therefore, you and I have within us that eternal element of God Himself, the seed, the Word of God. That means already planted into you in that spiritual being that you are is an eternal aspect of God's eternal nature. You also received at your birth the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is eternal. Therefore, you are within yourself an eternal being. You were dead in your sins, but God has made you alive together again in Christ. You're alive. You're alive forever, eternally. You're going to live forever. It's already marked within yourself because you have received the eternal gift of God, the Spirit that is within you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will indeed grant you eternal life. Not only that, but you have within you, poured into your heart, as was read at communion time today, the love of God. Faith, hope will pass away. Love is eternal. You understand you are an eternal being. You were raised from dead to eternal life in Jesus Christ. You are alive forevermore. You will never die. You will never die. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. So when you and I think about your faith, when we think about faith, we know that faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God, and that is the aspect of this book. It produces from God a faith that is eternal. Because we know the promises of God are forever. You know, what God has prepared for us, we have no idea. Eyes haven't seen nor ears have heard what yet is being prepared. Holy Jerusalem, man, what a beautiful city it's going to be. A beautiful rounding of God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the tree of life, a river of life. We're going to live forever. I can't, and I don't want to miss it. So that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of man, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, but that it would rest in the power of God. It was by God's power that Jesus was risen from the dead. By the power of God, you have been resurrected to a new life in Christ. I want you to think about that very sincerely today. We don't need to add years to our life. We need to add life to our years. We don't need to add more years to our life. We need to be adding life to our years. Jesus is the Lord of the resurrection, and he didn't come just to be raised from the dead for what we could look forward to in the hereafter. I believe Jesus was risen from the dead so that we might have life now, in the here and now, today. Jesus said, I've come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Abundant life, that's what Jesus offered to us in the now. Not yet to come, it's here, it's now, it's available. It's centered in the aspect of you receiving it in faith from God. Eternal life as he has promised it to you and me. He said abundantly. The word abundantly is large in quality. It's more than adequate. It's over sufficient. It's beyond measure. That's abundant. Isn't that amazing that even Ephesians 3:20, in reference to your prayer life, Paul said that God is able to do far more abundantly beyond what you even dream or ask through the power that is at work in you. Right now, that power is at work in you. That power of a resurrected life that has been changed by God's love and Spirit and his Word, you have been born to a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what you and me are, us, the power of Jesus' resurrection. It's right now, people. Right now. It's for you and me now. God wants you to be living a resurrected life right now. Totally different from the world. God wants you to be sharing the same aspect of the life of Jesus. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But yet not I, it's what? Christ who lives in me. That's just not theology. That's biblical. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery unfolded by God through the centuries, now revealed to the church, that Christ has now come and has received a whole new body, a spiritual body called the body of Christ, the church, over which he is the head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's you and me. The church is made up of many members, but we are all a part of one body, the body of Christ, the church. And Christ is alive and living dynamically in the world today through the living organism of the body of Christ that God gave him and started on Pentecost. You'll see that here in a minute. Like dawn after the moonlight night, like springtime after the snows of winter, like clear understanding after fog of confusion, and like comfort after fear, comes the radiance of the resurrection to bring us joy. And rejoicing. Paul said, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Not only because Jesus lived, but because you're alive. You're alive forevermore. You'll see that in my second part. But let me just refer you to Romans 6, 4, where it says, if you've been buried with Christ, then you were raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And Jesus said, behold, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. You were dead in your sin. God has now made you alive in Christ, and you are alive forevermore. Then live it. Man, take that life and live it in your homes. Live it in the workplace. Live it in the world. Let people see your rejoicing. Let them see your joy, that inexpressible joy full of glory. That radiates in your face, radiates in your life, radiates every aspect of your being. Because that is exactly the gift that God gave to us through Jesus Christ. The resurrection with the reality of our risen Lord is a tremendous triumph. It's the triumph over any aspect of suffering today. And you may be suffering. You may have to suffer. You may go through whatever in this type of life. But Romans 8:18 says, Paul declares, I consider that the present sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that is yet to be revealed. Not even compared to what God has laid in store for you and me. The answer to death, of course it is. Hebrews 2:14 and 15 said, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise also partake of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, even the devil. Render him what? Powerless. Verse 15, and might free those who through the fear of death might subject themselves to the slavery all their lives. For you and me to die is gain. For you to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Again, Jesus declared that he is the resurrection, the living one. I was dead, behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades. The previous verse, verse 17, in Revelation 1, Jesus said, therefore, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're alive now. You're going to live even after the aspect of death. You know that, so do I. We have good courage. I am a good courage. I believe in living my life. I want to live the abundant life. Amen? You want that abundant life? It's a gift that God offers us today. Lifts us up above the world. Lifts us up above the world. If you've died with Christ, then you have come alive with Christ, and you have been raised up with him, and you have been seated in heavenly places. You are on the right hand of God, and you should be looking down, looking up, because Colossians 3:1 says, if you have been risen with Christ, then set your mind not on the things down here, but set your mind on things above. That's your focus. That's your reality. If you're an eternal being and you're spiritual-minded, then your mind isn't set on this world. Your world is set on things that God has promised that are yet to come. And you're living for it. You live every day for it. Even so, Lord, come. Amen? I'd love to have it get over with. Wouldn't you love to have it get over with? Don't you want to go home? Aren't you homesick? You should be. Got to be. And so when I think of the evaluating power of Christ's resurrection that I now own, that is a part of me because of my faith in God's promises, it is any less startling. Is it any less startling that the divine nature of God could become human? That Jesus himself could come down here as God in the flesh and take on human form, become flesh and blood, amen? That's what he did, right? Why then is it any more startling that the human can become divine? Cannot God transform us? Cannot? Yeah, my body stays the same. I'm but dust, and I'll return to the dust. But the inner man, my spirit being, has now been made alive. And that spirit being, that inner man, that inner person that I am, Bill Horton, is going to live forever and ever. I'm alive, and I'm alive now, and I will always be alive. I'm never going to die, and I possess every aspect of God's eternal aspect. Number one is the fact that God has given me of his spirit. Do you not know that your body is the temple of God and that the spirit of God dwells in you? You know how many times Paul said, do you not know? Suggesting, are you ignorant of? Don't you understand? You understand what God has done, what he's doing? God has come down, not in a tabernacle, not in a temple. He now dwells in you and me. Amen? Your body has become the temple of God. He's alive, he's in you, and he is doing a mighty work in you. Not only is his spirit in you, but his power is in you. 2 Timothy 1:7, again, we shared last week, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. A spirit of power. God's people should be the most powerful people on the face of the earth because we have the power of Almighty God who said, let there be light, and there was light. The same spirit that moved upon the face of the waters and separated the dry land from the ocean is the same spirit that dwells in you and me. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that dwells in you and me. We have within us a spirit of power. A spirit of power. Not only God lives in us, the Spirit lives in us, we have his divine nature within us. 2 Peter 1:4 says, he has granted us. He's granted us by his precious and magnificent promises that by those magnificent promises you may become partakers of his divine nature. Is it any surprising then that the human becomes divine, that God can be in you, and that God could be accomplishing his will and his purpose in your life, and that since your birth, Paul said to the Colossians, I labor in a travail over you until Christ be formed in you. You were born of an incorruptible seed, the word of God, and the seed produces after its own. Know what God said? What is this book? It's the seed, right? Is not this the seed of the kingdom? What does this book then produce? God-like, Christ-like people, Christians, Christ one, right? That's all it produces. Doesn't produce any other aspect because the seed, the word of God, planted into our heart is the divine word of God that's eternal, and this word is the power of Almighty God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but it will not pass away. And God's word does not come back unto him void. It accomplishes its purpose, right? So you're being transformed. You're being changed. You are becoming inwardly in this physical body that's going to return to the dust and someday be redeemed and purchased by Jesus and changed from the corruptible to the incorruptible. The point is that you have the power of Christ now living in you. The resurrected Lord, the resurrected Christ is now living in you. And you are being changed and transformed by the renewing of your minds that comes through the scriptures. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen? Is it anything then that you and I cannot become spiritually minded? We have the mind of Christ, do we not? Do we not? Cannot the Holy Spirit then take the mind of Christ and process it through my mind so that I can prove and put to test what's the perfect and acceptable will of God? Can he not do that? Did you know the biblical text teaches that you and I are being transformed, changed, renewed day by day into the image of his Son? You know that? That means every day you're becoming more like Jesus. That's called sanctification. It's a process. It'll go on until the day you die. You know that? That God is at work and changing and transforming you and me and making us divine people. That we are God's people, Christ-like people in the world that we are living in today. Because the fruit of the Spirit, which is in you, is what? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Joy. Remember last week, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit, amen. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And if you claim to have the Holy Spirit, you say he is in you, then walk. Bring your will into harmony with the teaching that is in the book, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. You are to bring your mind and your will into harmony and unify it with the teaching of the book. Right? Yeah, you are. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. It really is. So the distinction is very clear. I'm going to close with this thought. Look at Romans just quickly, and we're going to really digest Romans next week. Because I really believe that it is very clearly the answer that sometimes many of us do not catch in the concept that is scriptural in relationship. What really happened to you when you were buried with Christ? Point is, however, in Romans 6 and 4, therefore we have been buried with him through what? Baptism into. Now, people, that isn't just a figment of words. That is what you were immersed into the death of Jesus Christ. You shared in the suffering of his death. You died with him. You were to have died with him. Repentance isn't where you died. Baptism is where God puts you to death. You're crucified when you are scripturally buried with Christ in the aspect of his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, you too might walk in what? Newness of life. Newness of life. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He is what? What is he? A new creature. Okay? The word Paul uses here in new, the word new Paul uses here is superior. Superior in nature. Value. Distinctive in nature. Nothing can compare with what? That element of new. There isn't a thing in this world can compare with what God has done for you and making you a new creature in Christ. The word creature from the background of the tense is that it is a creation of God. This new person, this new creation is what God has created. Wow, isn't that what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what it said? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So you are far beyond the aspect. Your value system and how you live and who you are should be far above those that are living in the world today. We should be a distinctive lifestyle that people know you've been with Jesus. Your words should betray you. Your behavior should betray you. Your walk with him should betray you. People should know by your distinctive lifestyle there's something different about you because you are a creation of God. You're a new creature in Christ. And what is beautiful about that? Philippians 1:6 declares, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who has been and began a work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Are you confident that God is at work in you? Are you fully confident that God is changing you,
Are you fully confident? Because that is a work of faith. You know that, don't you? You have got to have faith and believe what God has promised is taking place in your life. Without faith, you can't please Him. Without that which is not of faith is sin. God has trusted everything to you, and you've got to put your faith in what God's word says He is doing, He will do, and He can accomplish it. Faith is believing with all your heart that what God has promised, He's able to perform it. Isn't that what Abraham said? Wasn't that the conviction that Paul said about Abraham? He believed that whatever God promised, that God could perform it. God can bring to you and make you a divine, unbelievable, changed, transformed person that is originated and created in Christ Jesus. It began at your birth when you were baptized, and God hasn't stopped doing what He said He would do. He's been sanctifying you, setting you apart, changing you day by day. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful to me. I saw my dad change. I saw my mom change. I've seen people's lives change. How many of you have seen lives change? Completely changed. Totally changed. You think it was just happenstance, or do you believe that there is the power of God that can change people's lives? Isn't that why we preach the gospel? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. To those who don't believe, it's foolishness. But to you and I, it's salvation, isn't it? You know who you need to be saved from more than anything else? You need to be saved from yourself. Come next week. The greatest gift that God gave to you and me is that He put you to death. The old man has been crucified. That person that you were before baptism, God did away with it. It's gone. You were raised to walk in a newness of life. And that newness is what God is at now at work and accomplishing in your individual life. It's not what you do, it's what you're allowing God to do in your personal life. It's what you're allowing God to do in your personal life. And so why did God, where did He begin that element? Well, I'll have to share that with you next Lord's Day. Okay? But listen, the songwriter put it this way. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy our pardon. An empty grave is there to prove our Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He lives, I know He holds tomorrow. And life is worth the living. Life is worth the living because He lives. Life is worth the living. Say it. Life is worth the living because He lives. He came to give us life and gave it to us more abundantly. Do you believe that? Now put your life in the hand of the Master. Let Him transform you. Let Him change you. Let Him do what He only can do. You can't do it. Quit trying. Why don't you just say honestly before God, humble yourself before the Lord. Under His mighty hand, let Him do the exalting. Let Him do the changing, because that's God's work, not yours. Amen? You got to repent. You got to change. You got to take His word. You got to believe it. You got to let it transform your mind. You got to be a part of that, what's going on. You got to put off the old, put on the new man, right? You have responsibility, no doubt about that. But the ultimate work that God is doing is in the inner man, not outside of us. And the only way you're going to see it is see what He changes you. The new life is a moral life. It's no longer to be given to the sexual immorality of our world. It's no longer to be given to the flesh. It's to be given and under the control of the Spirit. You are changed. You are transformed. You begin a walk that changes you into a Christ-like person. The world needs to see that, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Your neighbors, your wife, maybe your husband. Maybe your children. Maybe they need to see Christ. You know that your life and mine is a living epistle? According to 2 Corinthians 3, known and read of men. We're the New Testament written by the Holy Spirit. What are people reading when they read your life? What are they reading? What are they seeing? If you've never been born again, if you've never allowed God to come into your life through the Holy Spirit and transform you, then I just share with you what Peter said. Peter said you have to repent. That means you turn and commit yourself to no longer live and be a slave of sin and be set free from it. That all takes place in baptism. That all takes place in baptism, Romans 6. You've been set free. If you've died with him, a dead people can't be slaves to sin any longer, right? That's what it says. So if you want to be set free and be a free person in Christ to grow and allow that spiritual man to come alive so you can have the promise of the New Jerusalem, then we invite you to come today and give your life to Jesus Christ. That's who you're giving it to. You're giving it to the Lord and let him do his work. Shall we stand together as we sing together? And if you have that decision, we certainly encourage you to come.